Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you all again. I do appreciate being here, and I was glad to finally meet Greg. Every time I've been here, he's been gone. I find out he was really, really a real person this morning. He found out I was real too. I wanted to make one comment about Sunday school. I love Sunday school, and I'm sorry I just can't get up here that soon, but I was really encouraged that you're listening to Ferguson. And I was telling Wayne my favorite story about Ferguson. Okay, now the Westminster students would often come early to class because they wanted to hear Ferguson's prayer. They loved to hear him pray. Isn't that cool? That's the only professor, not to say other professors are bad or anything, but that's the only time I ever heard any students say about that, about a professor. And we're going to talk about prayer. And I want to begin by saying, I find prayer to be hard work. And I got hold of a book called Getting Hold of God. And I loved it. It looked at the Puritans, the Reformers, how they prayed individually in their own life. And I said, wow, I just want my pastors that I care for to have this book. So I actually called up Heritage Books, and they said, yeah, we'll give you 20 copies. And so I gave them out. I gave one to my boss, and he read it. He called me on the phone and says, can you get 20 more? So my point in saying all that is my boss is a man of prayer, okay? And he has confessed that sometimes he gets on his knees to pray, and something happens. His mind wanders. Does that sound familiar? And he's reading the part on Bunyan. And Bunyan confessed that his mind sometimes wanders. And he says, I feel so much better. If Bunyan's mind wanders, then it's not okay, but at least I'm in good company. So let's turn our Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 8 and 9. And this is Paul's prayer for the Philippians. And here Paul says to the Philippians, for God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. Let's pray. Father God, our Bibles are open. And we desire that we not just hear a man this morning, but that you would speak to our hearts through your word. Your word is truth. And we desire that truth would lodge deep into our hearts, that it would transform us, that we'd be like Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, one night, Chuck Swindell had trouble sleeping. And so he decided to go downstairs so he would not disturb his wife. And I bet you, some of you have had that same experience. Well, his wife woke up and she discovered he wasn't in bed. So she decided she'd just go downstairs and check on him. And when she saw him, she said this to him, who are you concerned about? Notice she didn't say, what are you concerned about? But who are you concerned about? And I would imagine that there are people in this congregation this morning, you've had that experience, being up late at night in prayer for another person. Perhaps you're up late night for a wayward child, a sick person, a sick relative, or a difficult situation. As God's people, we know the importance of praying for one another. Now, Philippians chapter 1, verse 89, Paul begins his prayer. Listen to how he begins. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. Notice Paul prays, what? That their love for one another would grow. Now, there's a reason why Paul prays this prayer for the Philippians. On the one hand, There were people outside the church called Judaizers. They were trying to influence the church and bring false doctrine to the church. On the other hand, we read later in the book that there are two ladies in conflict with one another. And conflict always has the possibility to pull a church apart, right? And so Satan was trying to use this pressure both inside the church and outside the church, to destroy their church. And Paul wanted them to know an important truth, that it's their love for God and their love for one another that would enable them to stand firm in the midst of difficulty and fulfill their God-given mission. It was their love for God and their love for one another that would hold them together. It's that love that would glue them together. Now, throughout the Bible, we're told to love one another. Now, you remember the words from Psalm 133, verse 1. How good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in what? Unity. And you can't have unity in a family or in a church without love for one another, right? And in the New Testament, we're commanded to love one another. In fact, we're told at least 12 times to love one another. And may I suggest to you, strongly suggest to you, that if something's repeated 12 times in the Bible, then, my friend, it must be important. And we know that Jesus commands us to love one another. Remember his words in John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give you, that you, what? Love one another. Now, we often pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, please, if it's your will, and you fill in the blank, right? And that's a good prayer to pray, right? Because we want to pray always the will of God. And we have this promise from 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask according to his will, he hears us. Now, if you are praying that the members of your congregation grow in love for one another, I have good news for you. You are praying according to God's will. And God's going to, what? Answer your prayer, right? Because he wants you to love one another. That's his will. And if you pray that prayer, God's going to answer that prayer. Now, this morning, I want to share with you how Paul prays in a particular way that their love might grow in one another in this church. And then you'll know how you can love one another. For through in Christ Jesus, you really, really want your church to grow in love with one another. Well, how did Paul pray in a particular way that their love might grow for one another? Well, there are two things I want you to observe in this passage. First, Paul prays that their love might grow for one another with knowledge. With knowledge. Now, this might surprise you, but we need to use our minds in order to love one another correctly. Okay? We need to raise that question, how does God want us to love one another? Now, Paul wanted the Philippians to grow in love for one another, and I get a sense he wants them to raise that same question to, how does God want us to love one another? You see, it's not enough just to guess how we love one another, but we want to love one another in the right way, right? Now, I had to go do errands yesterday. I'm going by Wendy's, and I thought to myself, aha, I know what Crystal would like. She would love a Frosty. And now when I got home, you should have seen her eyes. You see, by God's grace, I've learned some things, right? What is going to really, you know, be a pleasure to her, okay? So Paul's saying, look, you got to use your mind. You got to think, okay? You got to raise that question. How shall we love one another? Let's look at verse 9 again. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge. Our love for one another should not be blind affection, but we really think through, how do we love one another? Now, I'm hoping at this point, you're raising that question, well, what is this knowledge we're supposed to have in order to love one another? And the answer is simple, but maybe not so always easy to practice. We need, in order to love one another correctly, the knowledge of the cross. The knowledge of the cross. Now listen carefully. I don't want you to miss this. This is important, okay? When we meditate upon the cross, we see how much Jesus loves his people. Okay? Jesus on the cross redeemed his people from sin, right? Okay? It's a sacrificial love. That's the knowledge of the cross. It's a sacrificial love. And so as God's people, we are now to love that same way, that Christ-like way, that sacrificial way with one another. Now, the world's love is self-centered. What's in it for me? Okay, when I do marriage counseling, sometimes I have to help the couples understand, you're not in this game to get out what you want. You're in this game to think through how they want to be, need to be loved. But God's love is cross-centered. It's sacrificial. And that means that we're thinking through, okay, how do I love my fellow believers? Now, on Fridays, I meet with a Christian businessman. And you can't talk to this man very long without realizing he loves his employees. He really does, and you see in action. Now, at the end of the year, he always thinks through, okay? How do I take some of my profits and keep their costs of health care down? In other words, he's sacrificing some of his profits in order to make sure they have adequate health care. Now, please understand, my friend is in business to make a profit, right? There's nothing wrong with making a profit. And you can't stay in business without making a profit. But he sits and thinks through. Okay, I'm willing to sacrifice some of this in order to make sure they have adequate health insurance. I was at his annual meeting with his employees. He's, your contribution is this, I'm keeping it down to this, and I'm adding more to this so you can keep the cost down for you. Isn't that great? But this is the point. There's Christians and non-Christians in that working that business. But they know one thing for sure. They know that Steve loves them. They can see that in action. Now, let me raise this question to you this morning. Is your love for one another a sacrificial love? Now, perhaps if you're honest, you'll confess. Well, Dan, if I were honest, I would confess that there's a believer in my life that irritates me. I mean, they really irritate me. And I don't really want to love them. I'd like to make distance with him. That's the time we need to go to the cross. Because it's at the cross we learn an important truth. If that person irritates you as a Christian, then Jesus died for them. And if Jesus died for them, then he loves them with a sacrificial love, right? And if Jesus loves them with that sacrificial love, then we should do the exact same thing. Let's ask God for that grace that enables us to love with that sacrificial love. It's not something we do naturally, of course. We need a spirit to do that. And so you ask him for that grace to do that. And then as a church, you will see yourself practicing John 13:35. You know this, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now there's a second thing I want you to notice in this passage. Second, Paul prayed that the Philippians might grow in their love for one another with discernment. With discernment. First, knowledge. Second, discernment. Now years ago when I was working as a substitute school teacher, I watched a public school principal in action. She knew when to be as soft as velvet. But she also knew when to be as strong as steel. I was amazed at this lady. And she just always knew when to be soft as velvet. And when to be as tough as steel. She had discernment. And I was not surprised to later learn that she was a true believer of Christ Jesus. Paul wanted the Philippians to grow in their love for one another with discernment. Now catch this. It's not enough just to know that we are to love one another with a sacrificial love. Okay. But we need to go one step further. We need to think through, okay, how? How to apply sacrificial love in my particular situation with the relationships in my life. This requires discernment. Let's read again verses 8 and 9. For God is my witness, I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. The word discernment here in the Greek has the idea of gaining insight. Now, we would agree, I'm sure, every one of us, since we're Reformed, right? That a person needs discernment to determine right doctrine from wrong doctrine. Right? Okay. Now, this idea of using discernment how you love one another may be new to you. Now, this is the reason why this is so very, very important. Okay, you're with me? Okay. One size does not fit all. Did you catch that? One size does not fit all. Okay. We're all at different stages of maturity, right? Sometimes a church ladies will say to me, damn, our problem here is we have people at different levels of maturity. Well, of course you do. That's the church. Okay? Okay? We're all at different levels of maturity. Okay? And we're all in different situations. My situation is not like your situation. And that's why we need to stop and use discernment. When we apply that sacrificial love to our brothers and sisters. Now, remember the business owner I was telling you about, my friend Steve? Remember, I explained to you, he takes some of his profits every year, sacrifices them to some degree in order to make sure his employees have adequate health insurance. But let me tell you something else about my friend Steve. He has discernment. Let me give you a few examples. Some time ago, one of his faithful, hardworking employees had problems with his septic tank. And this man just did not have the money to pay it. They didn't go and complain, but Steve found out about it via another way. And Steve called him in. Steve wrote out a check. Here, it's a gift. Last week, there was an employee who was in trouble financially. Steve understood it was his own fault. Steve understood that this guy misused his finances. Steve said, look, don't tell anyone, but I'll give you a loan if, and only if, we get you the help you need to get your budget under control. Do you catch what I'm saying? He's using discernment. He loves them, but he understands he has to apply that sacrificial love at different ways and different situations. Now, if you're in Christ Jesus, I know you want to grow in discernment. Let me give to you four ways you can grow in discernment. You can use all four or any of them, but here are four ways to grow in discernment. Are you ready? A, study how Jesus and the Gospels related to different types of people. Study how Jesus and the Gospels related to different types of people. Jesus did not relate to the woman at the well the same way he related to Nicodemus. Same gospel, but he applied it in different ways. B, read the book of Proverbs on a regular basis. Now, I have a friend who was on a business trip. And his boss put him in a compromising situation as a Christian. And my friend knew exactly what to do because he had the first seven chapters of Proverbs memorized. How about that? And he sat there. He began to allow the scriptures to inform him what to do. And he just stood his ground based upon the scriptures. C, ask God for wisdom. We have that promise, right? In James, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask and God will give it to him. D, spend time with Christians who have discernment. Spend time with Christians who have discernment. Their discernment will start rubbing off on you as you watch them in action. Remember this public school teacher? She knew when to be as soft as velvet and as tough as steel. Now, let me just quickly go over that again, okay? A, study how Jesus and the Gospels related to different types of people. B, read the book of Proverbs on a regular basis. C, ask God for wisdom. And D, spend time with Christians who have wisdom. But above everything else, ask God for the grace to grow in Christ Jesus. And we grow in Christ Jesus by spending time with Jesus. And how do we spend time with Jesus? Well, we're under the preaching of God's word. We're daily in prayer and reading our Bibles and studying our Bibles. And we participate in the sacraments. And we do that because Paul tells us in Colossians 2:3, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Want to grow in discernment? Get close to Jesus. Now, I've been working 2 days a week as a corporate chaplain. Some of these two of the chaplains got very ill, and I was asked to cover their hours, and it's been fun to do that for them. And one of the places I go, I should explain what a corporate chaplain does. We actually go into businesses and meet people and talk to people, and these businesses actually have a contract with an organization called Marketplace Ministries. And these business owners aren't necessarily Christians. There's actually 2,300 chaplains across the country. You probably never heard of this, but it's a cool ministry. And I'm glad to be able to have a little part in this. But there's one place I go on Friday afternoons, and in front of the business, there's this tall, flagpole. And it has an amazing large flag. And you can see it from everywhere you look from the interstate. And people make comments all the time, what a big flag. Now, maybe you stop and thought for a moment. Why does Jesus say that they will know that we are his disciples by our love? Why didn't Jesus say they shall know that you're my disciples by your doctrine? Now, please don't get me wrong. Doctrine is very, very extremely important. But why did Jesus not say, they shall know me by your doctrine? As opposed, they shall know me, that they will know that you're my disciples by your love. Well, that flag can be seen, that I told you about, from everywhere. Around probably a half mile or more. That's the visible sign, okay, that owner has for his business. Maybe I would pick out a different visible sign, but that's the one he uses. It's visible. Now, the world doesn't always see our doctrine, but they see our doctrine in action. Did you catch that? They see our doctrine in action. You see, if you don't love one another, if you're not loving correctly in the body of Christ, then there's something wrong with your doctrine. But they see. That's the visible sign. It's our love. And that doesn't mean everyone who sees our love in action is going to come to Christ, but it does make an awful, awful good impression. Now, if you are in the know about what trends on the church, 85% of people who graduate from high school Raised in a Christian home and evangelical church, leave after high school. 85% leave. Now, people sometimes ask me, okay, Dan, how do we reach millennials? They think they've got to have some kind of gimmick. Now, I know some of those millennials have a hard heart. They need to be regenerated. That's why they're walking away from the church. They need to be regenerated. Some of them are believers, but they bought into the culture. And that's a sad thing. But some of them look at the church and they go, you got to be kidding me. These are Christians. Now, I'm not excusing anyone for not doing what's right. Okay? But I have watched young adults walk off from the church. Because look at me and say, this can't be real. And so I was trying to explain last week to a group of people who asked me questions. How do we reach millennials? Oh, you preach God's word. Don't use gimmicks. Pray for them. But show your love for one another. That's what's going to make a difference. Those three things. Not gimmicks. You know, I don't want to get in trouble here, but we don't have to have a rock band and all those type of things to reach young people. We need to do those three things. Preach the word. Faith cometh by preaching what? The preaching of Christ. We need to pray for them. And we need to show that we're a people of love. Because Christ has transformed us. Now think about this. In the early church, there were churches made up of both Jews and Gentiles, right? And sometimes in some situations, they hated each other. But the world saw them how different it was that the Christians got along and loved one another. That doesn't mean we won't have disagreements. I've seen Christians disagree in love. That's a great thing. But we need to love one another. And so will you please ask the Lord Jesus Christ for the grace to grow in love for one another. Now, I'm a guest speaker, okay? So I don't know anything. I don't know of any problems, okay? I'm just teaching God's word this morning and asking you to ask the Lord Jesus Christ for the grace to grow your love for one another. Let me conclude this way. Years ago, my father-in-law, Sam Elder, he helped start the PCA church in Annapolis. It's just a small church. They're up to about 1,000 now. But he was an elder there for years. And he and the pastor got into a conflict. And in this case, I knew my father-in-law was right. And the pastor was wrong. But I watched my father-in-law in action. After church, he rubbed him, give him a hug. He would say to him, oh, we appreciate your ministry so much. My father-in-law would not let him go. He just poured love and poured love on him. Because my father, we're just having a disagreement. We can still love one another and disagree. And you know, I saw that pastor. His eyes got big the first time Sam did this. It was like, you're really going to love me? Now, Sam has been with the Lord probably now 6 years. And there's a new pastor. The older group is passing away, going to be with the Lord. Some of them are even forgetting that Sam existed. But you know something? There's a pastor. I don't know where he is today, but he remembers that day, I bet. That day that Sam came up and gave him a hug and expressed his love. I'm with you. I'm for you. We may disagree, but I'm with you. Let me just, in closing, read the passage again. Philippians 1:8-9. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. It's his love that motivates him to pray for them. And it's my prayer that you love me about more and more with knowledge and all discernment. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know how to love because you by your grace have loved us. And we rejoice this morning that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And as we look to the cross, we can sing that prayer or sing that hymn. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Oh, Father, help us to always remember that you love us because of what Christ did on the cross for us. And help us to remember that we can also love one another with that sacrificial love and with discernment. We thank you for that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's respond to the teaching of God's word with 170.